Resolution 231, approving the execution of a contract for $210,254 with Liberty Resources for multisystemic therapy services.
I'll move that.
I'll second.
Second, discussion.
Legislator Bartels.
Oh. Yep, go ahead. I can't see your hand going up. So yeah, if anybody else.
Thank you. So there was a question at the chair's meeting on this one about what exactly is multi-systemic. Did we get an answer to that?
Yeah. So at the chair's meeting, I didn't have the contract in front of me. I mean, and I don't think Legislator Walter did either, but the Schedule A goes into pretty deep detail on what the services are. I don't know if she just didn't get a chance to.
Okay, that's fine. I just wanted to make sure her question got answered.
This deals with a lot of, it's basically adolescents and their families. And they get referred to the unit from a various, I think it's kind of the more high risk youth that DSS may come across, and they could get, you know, there's five or six referral points, whether it's mental health, Ulster County Family Court, probation. And then they have a team of a supervising clinician and others that are licensed and deal with adolescents and their families.
Okay. Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Resolution 232, approving the execution of a contract for $185,000 with the Hudson Valley National Center of Veterans Reintegration.
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Okay. This is for peer-to-peer services for veterans suffering with PTSD and other related disorders and need of counseling. Mark, where are these services offered throughout the county? Is this at like various veteran centers or how actually?
So the Hudson Valley Reintegration Center, which is in actually, I think the 320 Enterprise Drive, that's the Tech City East campus, I believe. They're over there. I mean, they offer the services throughout the county, but that's their physical location. This is all part of a grant to the state called the PFC Dwyer grant. This is our first year, but it's not the first year that the state has offered the grant to counties. Mark Azapuli was able to get us involved through, I think, prior Senator, or not prior, former Senator Metzger. Her office added us in the state budget. And so this is, again, the first year of the program. We did have a small contract with them just through the Veterans Department last year to provide some of these services because we thought that we would get the state funding to come through, and it didn't until this fiscal year.
Got it. Okay. Anyone else? All right. All in favor? Aye. Okay. Resolution 233. Approving the execution of a contract amendment for $25,100. Oh wait, did we move and second our last resolution? Oh, we did. Oh, okay. Yeah, just making sure. Okay. 223, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $25,161, causing the contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000 with the Mental Health Association in Ulster County. Motion?
I'll move it.
Second it.
Second. Discussion?
I don't have an agenda in front of me because it's Zoom. The next one is RSS. This one is for the Mental Health Association.
The next one.
RSS is the last one, 235.
The last one, yep.
I remember it the last one, so I don't know where we are. Okay, thank you.
And Mark, I'm sorry, Mark, this looks like it's 90% state, 96%
state. 96% state, 4% county. It's basically.
So it's almost a pass through, but not quite.
COLA. Yeah. And this is, I think, COLA increases. Wow. You know, this one organization does 15 to 20 different services for us, that this is just adding 25,000 total across the board. So I believe it has to do with the OMH reimbursement just increased a little bit.
And we're talking 4% of 25,000 for county, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Okay. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Resolution 234, approving the execution of a contract amendment. For a contract amendment for $8,080, causing the contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000 with People Projects to empower and organize the psychiatrically labeled. Move for discussion.
I'll move it.
Second.
Any discussion? Again, this is an increase of the not to exceed amount. Basically the same as the last one.
Yeah. The psychiatrically labeled, if that isn't a politically correct terminology, I've never seen one.
Yeah, you know, the state still goes by these, you know, somewhat archaic descriptions of.
That's the organization's name.
That's the name. Oh, it is.
That's the name of the corporation, right? People Inc. And that's the acronym People.
Exactly.
I think it was just a tortured attempt to reach the word people. That's my theory.
I wonder when it was named. You know, I think sometimes it's a sign of the times. Like back in the day,
empower and organize the psychiatrically labeled. That's Inc. That's the part that is.
All right. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Resolution 235, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $12,120, causing the contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000 with rehabilitation support services. Move for discussion.
Sure, I'll move it.
I'll second it.
All right. Discussion?
Administered by Mental Health Rehabilitation Support Services. Does this kind of like go to things like Ryan and things like that, Mark?
This is how they do supportive housing, they do case management. On the OMH side, they provide community residents on the OASIS side. You know, I know Legislator Petit could probably discuss this organization quite a bit. But this is, again, just increasing it due to the state reimbursements. This one is, in fact, 100% state.
They have the Able House, and they had the Paris House in Saugerties.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I understand.
Okay. Anyone else? All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. I'm sorry?
Thank you.
And one. Yep. Gotcha. All right, that concludes our resolutions. and we will go into new business. So I don't know how you want to start a discussion. I know the first order of new business is to discuss some of the discuss the rescue funds.
I gotta say I read today's immediate release from the executive's office. To he had immediately released that prior to our meeting before we had a chance to even discuss any of it, and I thought that was a little he could have waited till after we had a little discussion about the American Rescue Plan and how it relates to our committee and the mental health beds and everything else, but he pretty much already did our work for us, supposedly. And I got to be honest with you, it does leave a bad taste in my mouth the way this was executed.
Okay.
Can I just speak on that?
Sure.
I mean, just the intention was not to, of the task force is not to just discuss the American Rescue Plan funding. So I understand that, like, we all knew that the committees are going to do, you know, that you're the chairman of the legislature has asked the committees to discuss American Rescue Plan funding. We are kicking off the task force tonight at 6:00 and it didn't work well for this month. Unfortunately, by the time we found out that Peter and Craig, as designees of this committee or designees of themselves as the chair and vice chair of this committee will be sitting on that task force. We didn't realize that they had a meeting after this. So they will be definitely included going forward and they'll be brought up to speed on what was discussed tonight. But the task force is more, it's more broad than just American Rescue Plan funding. It's identifying the gaps in overall mental health, not only from the mental health and the substance abuse beds being gone from Westchester Medical, if that happens, but everything that's kind of led up to today. Well, now in the last decade of mental health in this county. So,
if I could, Mr. Chairman, may I answer him a little bit?
Sure.
Mark, I got to tell you, I read the task force and who's on the task force and what the goals and stuff are. And I think that's all admirable, but I find it extremely ironic that the task force is made up by the very person, Dr. Michael Doyle in Westchester Medical, who said they're not bringing the beds back because it's not worth it to them financially. So then taking supporting them and giving them a say at the table when we already know how they feel. To be honest with you, I'm a little taken aback by that at the very least. You know, he was the one that came to this meeting. He did a presentation and he was asked on different ways and different times. And he came right out and said, they're not coming back. And because it doesn't make financial sense to Westchester Medical. A lot of us, not only here, but on the legislature had a real hard time saying yes to funding for anything for them because of that, of what he's done. He used COVID as an excuse to make more money for themselves. And I have a real problem with that. And now to make matters worse, it seems like our own executive and task force put them right on it. It's like they're embracing them in a way. I think it's a slap in the face. I really do. I'm really upset with that. And you know, the thing is I've been in discussion, and Mark, you know it, Craig knows it. I've already been in discussion to try to bring these things back for the last several months, trying to set up meetings and stuff. And I got to tell you, it's like, why bother? Because there's always almost as if somebody else is, I don't know. I don't know what's going on behind the scenes or why, but I have a real problem with this. I really do. And I think you understand, Mark, and I think Craig probably does too, because I've spoke to both of you over the last several months about what I was trying to do and even had them on board with it. And then if you're going to put them on the task force, that's just, it's like something's wrong somewhere. I don't know what it is. I'm not going to get up and scream in session like previous legislatures didn't and appoint figures at corruption, but I can tell you one thing, this really stinks. Point blank.
Okay. Well, let me kind of.
Sorry, guys.
Thank you. And can I ask a clarifying question in addition? So sure. Westchester, so Health Alliance and Westchester Medical, I see that they're both represented on here. Aren't they affiliated in the same company? Like, isn't it a subsidiary? So they've got two seats at the table, unless I'm missing something.
I'd have to go back. I have not read the full press release. I was out doing other things today.
You'd be forgiven from needing to learn from the press release about things like this.
But I think that
that's my point.
Was probably a typo that they probably at first didn't have a representative from WMC and then added Dr. Doyle. I don't think the intention is to have two, and I don't want to get into a huge back and forth here. The only thing I'll say is whether we like the move of the beds or not, it's not a done deal yet, but I understand where you're all coming from. We have to accept the fact that Health Alliance, they have Bridgeback here, which is one of our major outpatient service clinics. They continue to provide mental health services. Al, I have a lot of respect for what you're doing, and I think that if we can have that happen with getting somebody else come in and do the beds, I think that'd be a great thing. To not have one of the main providers of mental health in Ulster County, regardless of inpatient beds or not, at least in an 18-person task force where we have everybody else that's somewhat related to mental health, people access, all these other people at the table, and not have them when they have, again, Bridgeback and other services, would just, I think it would not be the right thing to do. So.
Can I just, and Al, thank you for laying all your cards on the table, I guess. And I do agree with you. I don't see the Health Alliance moving forward with their beds. And, you know, Bridgeback is a great program, but it's my understanding, you know, most of the folks who go there are mandated. And we're having trouble with our mental health. I have a neighbor down the street who's been in and out of the system for a while now. She can't get into Willard or any facility because of COVID. And the judge told her if she messes up again, she's looking at 9 years. The guy that killed her sister only got 3.5. So, you know, we do have a problem here. But with that, if we can present something, you know, it's kind of, I had these discussions with the previous executive. If we don't do anything, we don't have anything to put on the table and discuss either. So I would be happy to meet with you separately or as a subcommittee of Health and Human Services and see if we can't put together something tangible to be discussed within the legislature, within this task force that the county executive has put together. We can do it even if we're running parallel until we finally meet and come up with a solution. But don't give up on it.
Okay.
If I can.
Yes.
One of the things, Mark, that kind of like I'm concerned with, especially because the way the release was written says, you know, that they're going to use, well, basically he said that the rescue plan funding is going to focus primarily on our mental health situation, including the lost beds and et cetera, et cetera. And my thing is I don't see people that would have already made very clear their stand on it and why they would actually, like, for example, if what I'm working on comes to fruition and gets to the point where we start talking numbers or what it's going to cost to make it happen, and we can use some of this money here, those people that are on that table, there's no way they're going to support giving money to a different medical facility or a different medical center. I mean, that's like before they had Health Alliance having Benedictine support Kingston and vice versa. It's not going to happen any more than Vassar Brothers is going to support Mid-Hudson Regional. You know, they're in competition. Medical industry is the biggest financial business there is next to pharmaceuticals. So I that's where I'm a little concerned by putting, you know, a few of them onto this board. It's going to actually become a hindrance to move forward with someone else at the table that could actually and is willing to actually help us, as opposed to, sorry, it doesn't make us enough money. That's what I'm a little worried about. I think that was that's where it comes from.
You know. Mm-hmm. And I think
the idea of the task force is to identify broad needs and an action plan. It is not to take over the legislator's job of appropriating and like that is what the working group is for. This is supposed to help us identify the gaps in mental health, identify a broad strategy moving forward. If inpatient mental health beds are identified, then it's not this task force's task to come up with who does those inpatient beds. So I understand your concerns, but it's again a broader coming up with an action plan, a strategic plan, not you know, doling out the money. So
right, it's a recommendation to the legislature, and it's up to us to do with what we decide according to that recommendation. So yeah, it ultimately, you know, up to the legislature to write the policy and fund whatever it is, you know, we think is best way to move forward. So it's a task force. But no, I think your concerns, Al, are duly noted, and you raise, you know, really good points. So, you know, I appreciate your thoughts on that.
Craig, did you happen to make that phone call then? Just got to ask you. No, no, no.
To Kelly. Yeah, I actually did, and I can have that discussion with you tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay. So is there anything else? All right. So let me, I'm sorry.
Yep, Tracy, my hand's up. I just,
yeah, sure. Yeah.
Sorry. I'm sorry. You can't see me when I get my hand up. I don't want to, I'm not prepared to bring forward a very specific proposal at this moment, but I have been talking to Al for more than a year, following on our first real meeting, getting to know each other at NISAC and one of the seminars that we attended, which was very impressive. And I would like to be able to come back to this committee with some backup information about the organization and the programmatic background and backdrop to the work that they're doing there. Because I think it may be something that would be worthy of investment in this county, and maybe Al and I could come back to the committee with the backup and a presentation. Because now that there are funds available, it may be something that we want to look into. And I also just want to say that Al, I hear your frustration, but I think at this moment we've got to find a way to move forward together, and identifying the gaps in mental health services is actually something I think that's been long overdue. You know, we've been asking about it almost since the privatization of mental health in Ulster County. I know that initially John Parody was one of the most extreme critics of that move, you know, and we made the move with good faith, and I don't think we've ever adequately analyzed what that move has meant for services. So, you know, if we take the task force as its named word, and that they're going to be just identifying that, I think it is most decidedly up to the legislature to determine what to do with those funds. And I don't think that we should be waiting for recommendations from someone else. I know that I've heard some hints and some details at some recommendations that are coming from within the legislature. And I look forward to hearing more details and working with my colleagues across the whole legislature to help inform, you know, where we think these funds can best be put to use in a way that can be sustainable and the impact can be long lasting. And I think without a doubt, this committee is the committee of origin for which some of the most important work has to happen. So, you know, I look forward to working with all of you, and, you know, I look forward to all your leadership on the issue as well.
Thank you, Tracy. I appreciate that. And I definitely want to, I mean, I'd try to bring that presentation from Cheryl Moore from Erie County here once before. And it'll try it again. I mean, I have this, I still have to connect the contact people available, but I found out we need to go through legal before we can do that, because it has to be, if we have certain people there, it has to be under open meeting presentation. And that became a big football, basically, back and forth. And that's why ultimately I had to cancel it, because the schedule didn't allow the time. We would have had to plan this thing for like 6 months out to make it legal. And it really was a very frustrating process.
Well, if I can just respond.
I'll work with it.
If I can just respond to that, Craig, I don't know what roadblocks you ran into previously, but I would suggest that given the time constraint that we're under, that we work together and you use your contacts to get that presentation. If the chairman's willing to put it on the agenda for next month at the latest, and potentially sooner if it can happen, because certainly there's enough time to notice it. And I think everyone would be very impressed by the work they're doing. Oh, I know that they're having, you know, they're struggling with the impacts of COVID as well, but in fact, that might even make the presentation more relevant, because we'll get to hear the challenges as it relates to the current situation.
I agree completely, Tracy. I'll make the phone calls tomorrow, and I'll talk to you if you're available tomorrow as well.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Well, let's do it. Let's work to get it, to make that happen for next month.
I do know that their Erie County's mental health department, along with Cheryl Moore and the county executive's office, and who was including this was Erie County Sheriff's Department as well. Lining their schedules up was was difficult. There was only like certain weekdays that they could meet. So, and then it conflicted with our meeting schedule as well. So that was part of the problem we ran into, but I'll make the phone call. We'll try to get the wheels in motion. Whether we can get it done in 1 month would be, I'm going to say that's optimistic, but we'll see what I can do. Tracy and I look forward to working with you on this. I really do. Well, even more. I mean, we've talked about it in the past.
So. Yeah, you too.
Okay. Well, I'll continue with the under new business. Start that discussion. You know, we have our calendar new business as a standalone topic, but I think it's part of the broader discussion we're going to have regarding on how best to utilize the funds from the rescue plan. As you all remember, last April, this committee and the legislature as a whole approved $15,000 for RCAL to help offset the costs of a number of vocational services, behavior modifications, some online skills training for people with disabilities. And unfortunately, that was cut as part of the legislative programs that were cut in anticipation of the potential difficulties that the county was going to face because of the potential revenue losses. So with all that said, I think we have an opportunity here where we can backfill some of these programs that were cut back in March of last year, including programs like RCAL. So, if anybody wants to have that discussion or, you know, discuss with the committee, you know, ideas of programs and where best you think these monies could go, you know, the floor is open to whomever first.
Chairman, yeah. if I may, I agree with you. And I also have been reading about the surplus that the county is experiencing. So I think that we not only have funds from the federal, but we've also got surplus money that we should probably have a discussion about. I'm sure it's probably already been marked for, you know, other things, but I think that should be part of the discussion to try and go back to some of these organizations that we cut. And like you're saying, try and go back to those contracts and see what we can repair.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got to actually, Mr. Chairman, echo both of your comments, both you and Legislator Criswell, because it is spot on. We cut programs that were really needed and useful to a lot of people in this community due to COVID, due to our what we thought was going to be a $35 million deficit. And it turns out it's not. I think so. A lot of that right out of the gate should be a big discussion about putting that money, making them whole again. A lot of the programs that are needed. I mean, I do think that COVID did one good thing for us, and it made us open our eyes and examine everything that we spend our money on, and, you know, maybe more of a microscopic way. And I think we need to keep that in mind as we do this. I mean, there's a lot of programs we cut, but there's a lot of programs that we cut that are still able to function with the lesser amounts to a certain degree. And I think we need to keep that in mind as well. But I agree. Definitely make these people whole.
Yep. And we also have to keep in mind, I think, what these rescue monies were intended for. And that's to kind of offset or make whole these types of programs and municipalities, even some private organizations. I think that was included as well. It was the rules to what these this funding could be used for, I think, were fairly broad. I know that it can't be given directly back to in tax cuts or anything of that nature, but yeah, I think using it for what it was intended, and that's to affect programs and those who were directly or indirectly harmed by COVID. Abe?
Yeah, I hope, Peter, Legislator Criswell, you don't mind me putting you on the spot for a second, because I know you and Legislator Walter had a really interesting, it was Eve that brought it forward, an idea for funding for based on a program that they have in Dutchess County. Is that something? I'm happy to speak on it.
It's a stabilization center that also then works with respite houses. And so the model is basically that somebody will enter the stabilization center. There's assessment done of what that client would need. And if the client is in a really serious crisis, they have relationships with hospitals. They also have relationships with a lot of different local nonprofits. So it is exactly what I'm saying. It's a stabilization center to get the person back into a stable state to then take them to the next place, whether that's back to their own home or whether it's to a hospital or whether it's to a place where they can have a few days to have some care. So that's a model that Legislator Walter and I have been looking at. We went and we visited the facility in Dutchess, and it was very impressive. And we're having conversations about how something like that might look in Ulster County.
This is like kind of sort of news, sort of. I was actually had a meeting with Vince and Carol Kelder yesterday and had a great conversation with them. I knew Ryan personally, and I've known Vince and Carol for many years. They recently, Ryan, Raise Your Awareness Against Narcotics, purchased the Knights of Columbus building in Saugerties. Their plan is to be a facility that will help patients that are coming out of detox, out of rehab from opioid abuse, and give them a place to get on their feet, a place to stay if necessary, support, a lot of support groups, and they're doing this on their own. And that's why I think, Peter, what you're saying, like what Dutchess County has, I think is awesome. It might be, as a county, might be able to partner up with groups like that in maybe different locations throughout the county. Like Saugerties is one. Ellenville could be another one. Kingston may have a couple.
I totally agree with you, Legislator Bruno. I think that the idea of having sort of a more centralized, like population density center, stabilization center, and then locations that are a little further afield, that can be these sort of respite houses that are, available in, you know, such a wide, swath of, of the county, you know, Ellenville, the Sauger, it's like, yeah. So that's
what I look at it like ARC does. ARC has houses in every neighborhood and every city and every town across the county.
Absolutely, you know, right. Absolutely. Right. And the idea of partnerships, I think, is so important because, you know, there are so many great organizations that are really working in the mental health field. And so I'm hopeful for this behavioral health task force that there'll be a lot of identifying of really who's doing good work and how partnerships can be formed. And so that, you know, if we can figure out, to me, it's like this spoke idea. If we can figure out some way to centralize it a bit more and then send people out to where they need to go, who offers those services. And we can do it for youth. We can do it for seniors. We can do it for vets. We can do it for people with substance abuse. I just think there needs to be a little bit more coordination in that moment of crisis. And so, you know, cause we don't want our moment of crisis to be sending somebody to the emergency room at the hospital. That's not a crisis intervention center. That's, you know, it can actually cause more trauma. So I think we want to be really mindful of where people are being brought when they're in crisis.
And have those response teams available as well to go to them if necessary.
Hey. So just to kind of perhaps draw this part of this topic to a close, then, you know, the conversation that I had with Legislator Walter and, you know, her and Legislator Criswell have done a lot of work to research this, and it's very concrete. You know, we have real information about how much it costs to implement this in a very nearby county, and this is completely within. I mean, the my understanding is the startup cost. This could be done. We could be serving, you know, we could have the capacity to serve hundreds of people a month with an initial investment. My understanding is around $3 million, which is less than 10% of the rescue plan funding. There could be other sources of funds available, and that's, you know, there could be lots of, and that's without partnerships. You know, my point being not that, oh, that's the cost, let's hit the button and spend it. My point being that this is very real and very concrete. So my hope, Deputy Executive Ryder, is that the County Executives Task Force, which I know Peter is a member of, you know, can really tackle some of these things head on, you know, during a time when we do have a community in crisis. I'm deeply concerned about many of the residents in my district who might find themselves in crisis as evictions start to happen and a whole wide range of things that you know, are really on a medical level on the edge today and will get pushed over the edge. So, you know, I'm incredibly excited about this program, and I hope that the task force can take it up, you know, rapidly, and that the county executives team can look at this as a proposal from the legislature that's feasible.
Yeah, I think that the kind of capital funding that is envisioned with the American Rescue Plan, which is, again, one-shot funding, not programmatic funding that's going to be here forever, that something like a stabilization center is right up the alley of that funding. And, you know, there's been conversations with multiple executives' offices and People Inc. and Josh Grant, and you know, these conversations have been ongoing for years. The Dutchess County Stabilization Center runs on a deficit every year. It takes money from Dutchess County to come in. With this kind of funding, this may bring us the opportunity to be able to, you know, put in capital. Also with, you know, when the hospital moves, all that. If they do a healthy village and they're willing to open up something over there, WMC, I don't know, you know, exactly how this would work, but I do think, you know, a stabilization center is a great idea. And it's right in that wheelhouse for this kind of stuff.
If I may, it's also my understanding that there is legislation on the state level right now that is rejigging the way reimbursements work to make this a more feasible operation in terms of finances. And so the weight on the county would be much, much, much less than what it's been previously.
Yeah, I think just finding space for it and then using capital funds to really help whatever organization runs it, whether it's a people or another, you know, mental health services organization like that, and allowing them to then be able to come to the table with just sustaining it through billing and other reimbursements, I think is important. And we've never been here at this, you know, until now.
And what I like so much about this model is that it's been tried and proven and works, and the financial systems are already vetted and in place of how it can work. And so it's almost like just taking it from one county and putting into another county. I mean, obviously you're going to have the complications of finding buildings and doing that type of stuff, but the actual back end of it all is the structure's already there. So you're going into it, you know, 75% of the way there already. And so that's the thing that really impressed me most about this whole possibility.
But I do just want to point out, I mean, one of the things that I just talked about is, and this is the reason why you have them on the task forces, regardless of what happens with the beds, you're going to have WMC potentially opening up a huge amount of space in what they're calling the healthy village. And if they're willing to give organizations low cost rent or whatever to open up something like a stabilization center in that building, then it's helpful to have them on board, right? So these are the kind of things that some of the reasoning why we would add somebody like that onto the test.
Understood. Okay. Well, if I can maybe kind of wrap this up a little bit. Look, I think we have a really unique opportunity here. Yeah, we've always had the ideas and people that were willing to work together and do the work in order to make these things happen. And now we're presented with an opportunity where in the past it was always a funding issue. And, you know, we may be able to get over that hurdle, yeah, with these monies that we'll be receiving. So I think if we all work together and help facilitate these ideas into actual, real things, then I think it'll be a good thing for this county. So does anybody have anything else?
I'd like to actually jump if I can, because I want to go to the first couple of minutes of this other meeting before energy and environment, if that's all right.
Yeah, I think housekeeping on the end of the, there was a couple of housekeeping matters that I think were on your agenda.
Yes, there were some schedule changes, right?
I saw those, so I'm fine with those. I will.
Well, I got a question about them, but my question is about the June meeting being pushed to the 3rd. If I'm not mistaken, that's our caucus night for Republicans. And pardon me? Yeah, June.
Okay.
So reschedule June meeting to Thursday, June 3rd at 5 p.m.
What time's caucus?
Usually it's like around, yeah, it's after that. It's after that. But I'm just curious as to why then instead of the 7th, which is actually the first Monday of the month anyway.
Well, we have that option as well, but we wanted to try to piggyback it with energy and environment. So both committees, because two people in this committee are on that committee, so we tried to get them on the same night. So right now we're looking at Thursday, but
I'm just curious because it seemed odd that we're pushing it. So, I mean, even energy and environment, why don't we just keep things the way they were on the first Monday of the month? That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, I think the chairman, my understanding is kept Thursdays open for any kind of meetings like this, for example, to use it for this purpose. So,
that's okay. I mean, I have no problem with it. I thought it was odd. That's all. We're having it early just because.
Well, it's in the same week. Instead of Monday, it's Thursday.
Isn't it because it's a they both run into holidays, Al?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, I'm not against it. I just thought it was odd. That's all. But thank you for the clarification. So do we need to vote on this or anything?
No.
I don't think so.
No. No, it's just it's an FYI.
I got bounced out for a second. Did we come up with the solution to the schedule change?
Well, Peter Criswell has left the meeting, and he's good with those dates. And Al had an inquiry, but he's good with it too.
Okay. All right. I don't think we need a vote on that.
Hey, Peter, are you okay?
Yeah, it works.
Yeah? Okay.
Okay. Make a motion, we adjourn.
Okay.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Yeah. Nice try, Mark. You can't vote. You just wanted to adjourn. We get it. We get it. You just want to get out of here.
All right. Take care, everyone.
Have a good night, guys. Good night,
everyone.
Okay. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.